With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of Game Week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more, and everything is made to your exact measurements for a great fit. Indochino's process is simple. Choose your fabric, pick your customizations, and submit your measurements. Your package will then be delivered to your door in 2 weeks. You can get measured and design your suit at your nearest Indochino showroom or do it all yourself online at Indochino.com. Always Cheating listeners get $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering the code BLUEWIRE at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code BLUEWIRE for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. You have no excuse anymore to wear clothes that don't fit. Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Podcast. We're brought to you this week by Indochino, Harry's Razors, and Untuckit. Brandon, I actually wore an Untuckit shirt this week, and I quite liked it. No one even told me to say that, Brandon, but I did. I wore one, and I enjoyed it.
I did, too. I wore my Untuckit shirt to work on Monday, and my boss was like, new shirt? And I think he was genuinely curious as to where that shirt was from.
So, Brandon, how are you?
Great, Josh. Thanks for asking. Game Week 12 is in the books and another international break is upon us. So, you know, it's always awkward to podcast going into an international break because we like to gear a lot of our thinking toward the next game week. But we have 2 weeks to go. So I think a lot of this is just going to be us reacting to basically Liverpool winning the league. Did that just happen today, Josh?
I don't think so. And I mean, how many points were they up before they played Man City in the second half of last season? Was it 7 or 8 points? I think the lead was pretty substantial when they played in January of last year. And, you know, the difference is about the same. So it's far from over. I think this Liverpool team looks a little more they just seem like a little more hard to beat, to be honest. And Man City don't look as good. I mean, it's hard to see Man City being 9 points better than them, or I guess 8 points, because they'll probably have better goal difference at the end of the season. Their defense is a problem right now. We're obviously going to talk a lot about Liverpool and Man City on this week's podcast. In fact, we have a special section just for Liverpool and Man City. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, Brandon, how was your game week?
Yeah, I was above average. So game week 12, the average points were 48, and I'm on 55 points. It was an up and down roller coaster of a game week. the Vardy captaincy felt great. It was huge. We were talking at the Black Horse this morning about watching Tammy get his goal, get his two bonus, and then immediately you kind of want to, because you didn't captain Tammy, you're like, well, I would like to just have that goal and those two bonus as my captain.
Totally.
Right. Can
totally.
I change it?
Yeah, so 8 points in the hand, Vardy, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, are worth 12 in the bush? I don't know.
Right.
Suffering through that first half of Leicester, Arsenal not really knowing what the outcome was going to be for Captain Vardy, it felt awesome to walk away with 12 points doubled there. The rest of my team is a bit of a mess. Aguero, that journey has come to its conclusion after the Liverpool match. Aguero's got to go. And not for want for trying, Aguero. What an odd sub for Pep to just pull him off and replace him with Gabriel Jesus that has no confidence right now.
We disagree a little bit on this because I didn't think he was at his best, but we've already argued about this at the Black Horse, so I don't think we need to go on about
right,
it anymore.
Right, right. So then, yeah, my midfield with McGinn, Sterling, Mount, De Bruyne, nothing to write home about there. We're going to have to do a bit of an overhaul in the coming weeks to get some Liverpool attack in there. And my defense, I talked on our Patreon podcast on Thursday about dropping Issa Diop to bring in George Baldock and double up on the Sheffield United defense. Great idea, right? And wow, how would it have come through for me this week?
Yep.
But yeah. I lost my nerve and I decided to go for the value pick. Sergio Rico, just slot that cheap guy on my bench. And he auto subbed because Matthew Loughton didn't play for Burnley. So I lose the Burnley clean sheet and end up with a one-pointer from Rico, which didn't feel great.
The Loughton mystery. We have no answers to the Loughton mystery. So that mystery will have to carry over possibly over the entire international break. We'll have to see what happens there. And Brandon, I'm excited to see what happens. That's for sure.
I guess the last thing I could say about my team is probably my favorite thing that happened this week, maybe even more than Vardy, was Matt Ryan continuing to come through against all odds. It's incredible. A seven-pointer after letting in three goals. You would assume, you see that scoreline for Matt Ryan, and you assume a penalty save is involved here somehow, somewhere.
Right.
But he is the new Lucas Fabianski. He is a save machine. And I guess it's like, it's a delicate combination of Brighton being just good enough that they concede poor shots, but they're just bad enough that they concede a lot of poor shots. So Ryan, he makes a lot of easy saves. The ball hits straight at him, but he's also been flexing on a lot of these saves too. I think he looks great this season.
Yeah, he does look great. And so I guess the question that I have for you is, he's sort of single-handedly keeping the idea that you don't need to rotate your cheap keepers alive, right? Because Pope has these kind of extreme home and road splits right now where they've been pretty solid at home. They've kept three clean sheets, I think, in their last four home matches, but they've been woeful on the road this season. But Ryan himself has been pretty much bringing in the points wherever he is. I mean, maybe not getting a clean sheet every time, but, you know, like you said, picking up tons of saves and bonus points and things like that. So my question for you is, you've had these two transfers and you sort of holding on to them like cash under your mattress or something. Yeah. At some point, are you going to unleash these two transfers? Are you just going to carry them over until game week 38, you know, and see what happens?
Yeah. Was this the third week in a row where I've had two free transfers and I just spent one?
I've been waiting
to figure out what I'm going to do with Salah or Mane and figuring out who I want and which Man City player I want to get rid of. It has to happen this week. I just can't see how. And right now my mind is totally colored by that Liverpool City game, and City looked incredibly jaded and out of sorts. That could certainly change in a heartbeat for them, given their quality, but it's just a huge concern. So this is the perfect time. You talk a lot about international breaks are the time to play your wild card. Well, this is the time for me to play my two frees. So I have that problem to solve in terms of how am I going to alter my attack. But also, I was talking to you about how my defense is – I've gone fully extreme on the get the worst, cheapest defenders in.
Yeah.
And it's starting to look really ragged back there with Rico, Loudon, Mysterious Loudon, Navarro, who doesn't even play, and Lundstrom. I need to get some good guys in along the lines of Tomori and Soyuncu and that type. So the two frees are going to involve a little up, a little in the front, a little in the back, a mullet transfer.
Okay. A reverse mullet, I think, right? Yeah, or something like that. I don't know how that metaphor works. Well, I'm excited because I finally picked up a win in our 50 buck cup. I needed one. I think you'd won four matches in a row or something like that. And so
hot streak. Oh, very, know, always it, very tight though. 2 1-point head to heads for us that I edged you out the last 2 weeks, and then you just totally blew me out of the water this week.
I feel like that's always the way, and I don't. It must say something about our managerial styles or something like that, where I feel like week in and week out, you tend to nick me by 1, 2, or 3 points, and then I'll have like some week where I'm like 12 to 15 points ahead, or you know, does that?
Yeah.
That sort of, you know, jibe with your feeling about it as well. I'm not sure what that says about us exactly, but
it does. Well, I think that's just FPL, right? I think those wild swings, sometimes I will have one of those, Josh, but I think they come with big course corrections for our teams. Like when you alter, like you brought in Vardy and Tielemans this week, everything aligned, right. You made a very affirmative change. And it paid off, and it's just going to be a big points boost for you. My team is a little bit in stasis at the moment. So I think if I make some positive changes, maybe I'll get a bit of a swing there.
Yeah, that's true. And two transfers in hand is always a good way to do that. Always nice to have that over the international break, too. It gives you a little coverage, you know, in case anybody gets injured or
right.
You know, comes back late, you know, if they travel to you know, South America or something like that, which often happens. So yeah, I finished on 73 points. I did burn four to bring in Tielemans and Jamie Vardy, and it, you know, certainly that worked out extremely well. So I was very, very happy about that. And yeah,
what did you drop score for those two guys?
I dropped Josh King and Kevin De Bruyne, and so I was a little obviously worried about De Bruyne, but I was also at a point where I just didn't care anymore. You know, I feel like 12 weeks in is the point where you're just like, I don't care about coverage picks anymore. Like I'm just, I felt like I was not, you know, one assist, no goals for in the last four matches for De Bruyne. Make that one assist and no goals in the last five matches for De Bruyne. This is talking about the Premier League specifically. And I just felt like, I felt like I needed to change my team up. And I also felt like, I wanted to hold on to Salah because his ownership was lower, and I like his fixtures up ahead more, and I was just willing to take the risk that Salah could do something, you know, in this home match. And so, you know, so I feel really good about that, because that was a 6-point swing right there, from KDB to Salah. I mean, we'll see how that plays out over the next, you know, several game weeks, you know, assuming I don't move back to KDB at some point. But yes, I feel good about that. I like my team a lot more moving forward. I sort of regret a couple of moves I made a while ago to bring in Connolly. Now he feels like a hole in my, like he just feels like a problem that I have to solve soon, which is kind of annoying. Yeah. So I think Connolly is out. I may burn four again going into game week 13. Let's, you know, we'll see.
I love it.
Yeah, I've already burned four three times this season. And,
you are gegenpressing FPL right now, Josh.
Yeah, and I actually think it's worked out well, I think, two out of three of those times. And so, yeah, I moved up 200,000, which also feels good. I was at 626, and now I'm at 427. So 199K jump, and 427 feels like that's getting me closer to an overall rank that I'm a little bit happier with. So that feels good. Green arrow is always nice to get going into a, you know, an international break. Normally I kind of hate the international break. This one, I'm not, I feel like I need a little break, you know, personally. We've been trying to be a lot more positive on the pod, and I think it's made for, honestly, you know, full disclosure, better podcast, but I also think it's an attitude I've tried to carry over to my fantasy team too, you know, and just trying to be a little more like positive, taking some risks, trusting my instincts a little bit more. You know, whether that has actually led to better game weeks or not, I don't know, but it's my third green arrow in a row, and I feel good about my team right now. So That's our team. How about the Always Cheating Super League, Brandon? How do those guys do? And girls,
fantastic women. As always. Let's start from number 10 and work our way up to number 1 with the Super League, which you can join with the league code that says that's at alwayscheating.com. So in 10th place, it's Muhammad Al-Basri. As everyone knows who listens to this podcast, your names are all about to be extremely butchered. In 9th place, it's Kim Andre Ofis. In 8th, Declan Rein. 7th place, Hugh Patrick Campbell. In 6th, it's Christina Hogsith. Declan Kelly in 5th, holding strong. In 4th, it's Christofferson on my brain. It's the Christopher with the K that threw me there. Christopher Bergman, welcome to the league, Christopher. Third place, Bradley Perry. In second, it's Owen Hogan. And in first, Respect Budinho, who's having an amazing season, 804 total points, and he is ranked 24 overall in the world. Another great week for Budinho.
Very impressive. Yeah, I feel like the top 5 or 6, I feel like, have been pretty steady the last few game weeks. So congrats to those managers. Brandon, we have a poetry corner this week.
Of course we do.
We have some patrons who can write poetry. You know, the original, of course, is Lucian Madison, one of our first patrons. Yeah. So shout out to him.
Yes.
But one of our producers, producer Kaya, comes with a short little, I don't know what meter this is in, Brandon. So I'm just going to read it and you can tell me later what meter it is.
Okay, sure. All right. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Iambic pentameter, perhaps. No hammer can kill a bee, yet the palace was invaded. They broke all the crystal and a new castle was born out. New foxes are foraging and wolves scraping by. The arsenal is thinning and the sterling is dropping still. Even the liverboard is eating the seagulls and canaries too. Wow.
Wow, it really ended on a dark note there.
It did.
some bird on bird violence.
Yeah, I like anything that makes watching sports feel a little more epic. So I'm a big fan of all sports related poetry. It reminds me of like 1920s baseball writing a little bit. And like back then it was like there was no, it was not these like traditional box score style. And so you have these people like Ring Lardner, who just write like these sort of like Grantland Rice, these like long, beautiful, sort of like this, sort of like Kaya's poem, you know? So we need more of that in sports. Can't just be conversations about VAR, Brandon.
I think epic poetry has to come back in a major way. I heard that Watford are having their fans help them redesign their crest. I think they should just get Grendel from Beowulf, the ultimate of all epic poems, as their new mascot. Get that hornet out of there, this moose or whatever it is on their badge, and just go full terrifying Grendel beast.
That's true. Would it be Grendel or Grendel's mother? I guess that would be that's
a good point. Way to call me out. That's a classic Frankenstein's monster sort of a blunder I just made there.
Well, Grendel did exist as well. So it's very, very complicated. And we'll save that for our English Lit podcast, which you and I produce twice weekly. So look for that. Always reading, that podcast is called. So, keep your ears out for that one.
All right. Maybe we will unload that poetry podcast on our Patreon subscribers, on our exclusive supporters feed, which you can get access to. You get an exclusive podcast every week. If you're a Patreon supporter, just visit patreon.com/alwayscheating for more information. Josh, why don't you thank our new Patreon people?
I'd love to. Thank you to our new Lord Sorloth patrons, Toothless Gibbon, Mark Daffern, and Simon Aronson. Thank you as well to a new Pookie patron, Brandon. Pookie may have fallen. Actually, you know what? You know what Pookie has done? He has fallen to our level. You know, now he
we
belongs.
We brought him back down to our level. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All of the patron saints of the podcast, Quadmo Poku, Sam Vokes, Dia Mercy Ambikani. Alexander Sorloth. None of them are even in the Premier League anymore. And Pookie's on his way out too. So congrats to Giorgio Porfiris, who is our new Pookie patron. Thank you to all of our new patrons. If you support the podcast and here's a question, Brandon. I'll put this on the Slack feed for the patrons. But let me know if you want us to do a traditional fantasy podcast this week as our bonus podcast, or if you want it to be something a little bit different. If you want it to be us, talking about the Star Wars franchise or I don't know, the best movies to watch on Netflix, or I don't know, like how to make the most of your Spotify family membership. I don't know, anything like that, you name it. And we'll talk about it. I'm just thinking about things I could actually talk about. So you name it, and we'll discuss it on this week's pod. Once again, that's patreon.com/alwayscheating. Thanks to everyone who currently supports the pod.
I'm just imagining a lull in any silence, and you're just sitting there saying, hey, anyone feel like talking about Star Wars? I feel like I've been in that situation with you before.
Hey, yeah, do you want to talk about a smart playlist in Spotify and how to maximize them?
Fantastic. Well, let's take a quick break and come back and talk about FPL-related things. Today's topic, we're going to talk about swords and shields and other hot topics. We'll be right back.
All right, Brian, we're back. We're going to talk about a couple different things on this week's podcast, slightly different podcast. We're not going to be doing a Game Week 13 preview. It's just a little too early right now. And so I want to talk about two things. One is we're going to talk about Liverpool and Man City, obviously. It was on a lot of people's minds when we did our call for questions. And you know, understandably so, with you know, blanks up and down at Man City and lots of injuries, and then Liverpool looking a lot stronger. But I want to table that just for a moment, because I want to talk about something that I think is something that's worth thinking about as you go into the international break and as you think about the rest of the season. And, you know, for a long time, maybe the first 10, 12 weeks of the season, I guess really going into this last week, I have been pretty cautious when people come to us and say, hey, should I try this move? Should I try that move? Should I do whatever? And early on, I feel like my response is usually no, 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 no. You know, I'm saying no a lot. And, you know, sometimes I'm wrong, of course. Sometimes a risky move does pan out. But usually you're right. And you just stay the course and, you know, kind of go with the high ownership players. There's a reason that they tend to be the top point scorers, all that stuff. But I think that we're sort of at the point now where you can start to get a sense of what the people above you are doing and what you might have to do to overtake them. You know, a lot of season left, but I think that it's time you can start to be a little more strategic at this point in the season. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think we're being blessed now with certain players that are emerging that do offer some sort of FPL output. You immediately think of somebody like Christian Pulisic, somebody who we weren't talking about for the first 10 weeks of the season. And now they're a bona fide, you know, lock into their starting lineup, and they're an FPL point getter. And we have a handful of those that we can legitimately talk about putting in our team that we may not have had a few weeks ago. So it does feel like a good time to pivot and find those. I mean, it's kind of broad to call them differentials, because I think it's just sort of they're low ownership players.
So, yeah, I mean, there's this original post that was on Twitter that got a lot of attention. I guess it was about 6 months ago or so. It was during last season. And it was FPL. I don't know if it's Reuser or Reuser. I don't know. It's FPL, R-E-U-E-S-E-R. And the sort of this differential talk, but he used the term sword and shield, which has kind of like a D&D feel to it. But I nevertheless, let's say instead of D&D, well, it's just
old. You say that so dismissively, like you don't hang out with geeks and dweebs.
Oh, come on. I mean, I've got a weekly fantasy podcast. Like, I'm not cool in any way. But FPL Reuser says, this was, I think it was actually in response to somebody else's post, but it's sort of become something a lot of people have thought about and talked about since then. And he says, no player scores each and every week. Sometimes you have more blankers than most. That's just probability. Your template is your overall rank shield. Your differentials are your overall rank sword. Finding the blend is key, but the ratio is dynamic. Ideally, you want tomorrow's template. So this idea of sword and shield, and just for anyone who isn't aware, a differential, which is kind of a niche fantasy term, is basically just a player that you have who has low ownership. You know, a fantasy game is a lot different than a draft style game because everyone can own the same players. So often what people try to do is find a player whose ownership is low, because if they do well, that's a real chance to jump over all the other managers who don't have that player, you know, the 93% of the managers that don't. And so this idea of sword and shield, I've been thinking about a lot, because when I made my transfers this week, I feel like I did a little bit of both, which is that I brought in Jamie Vardy, who has, you know, great fixtures. He's in great form. His ownership is super high. There's lots of reasons that you'd want to have Vardy. It's a safe pick, but also a pick that he's captainable. You know, lots of reasons you want to have him, even though his ownership is really high. Like, mm-hmm. His ownership is not so insanely high either that that you're just playing defense. Like, you can, especially if you're going to captain him a lot, right? So even because, you know, there's this idea of like effective ownership, and you know, they'd be like, oh, well, everyone owns him, so it doesn't matter. But if you captain a player that game week, then you effectively have 200% of that player that week, right. You know, instead of, you don't just own him, you kind of super own him.
Yeah, so, and Vardy is only owned by 33.1% of all managers. Right. So it's not a third of the game
at all. Yeah. And so, you know, I thought about who to sort of drop to help fund this move. And I thought about Mo Salah, Kevin De Bruyne, and Raheem Sterling. And I ultimately went with Kevin De Bruyne as the player that I dropped, even though I think Salah in some ways was the more logical pick. Ankle injury, not in great form, you know, probably not the best fantasy asset in that midfield right now. But to me, I kept him just almost entirely because his ownership was lower. And I just felt like he's got a good track record too. It wasn't like, you know, so it's not a complete punt, but I just felt like I was willing to take the risk on him, even though his form has not been great. And I didn't really know what to expect of him in this Man City match, because I just wanted to have another one of these sword type players, which is a player who can get you big returns, who isn't owned by a ton of managers. And at this point, Mo Salah basically is a sword, you know, to continue this analogy. Yeah. You know, having him right now can really help you overtake people in the rankings. So I don't know. Have you been thinking about this at all? Or I know you're familiar with this analogy, but as you know, does it guide your thinking?
I'm glad that you brought it up this week, because I think it does. I need this to be reaffirmed in my FPL thinking, because if I look at my Sergio Rico transfer this week, it was not a sword. It was not a shield. It was like I was on the field of battle and I picked up a clump of mud. So, I mean, and that's not, it's not to say that every transfer that you're going to make week to week is going to be some sort of revolutionary, battle device that's either going to help really solidify or boost
crossbow.
Your rank.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe some sort of a hidden dagger in your boot, or
catapult.
A poison chalice of some kind. But Rico, yeah, definitely just a clump of mud with maybe a rock hidden inside of it. But I the other transfer that I was thinking, as I mentioned earlier, was Baldock. And if you look at those two guys side by side, I guess hindsight factors into this a little bit, what we know about those two players, and Baldock is an aggressive getting forward defender for a kind of a dynamic team. Maybe that was more of a sword pick. And if I start to think about my transfers in these more coded terms, it will help me, because I'm in a place where I think most managers are, you know, I have a middling overall rank and I'm having to fight tooth and nail to get a green arrow and get my rank up to where I want it to be. So I have to start thinking about making those aggressive transfers. Now, Aguero for me is my sword. And I think, you know, that explains why I've held on to Aguero as long as I have.
Sure.
Because I have viewed him as a sword type player. And
that can become a problem, I guess, too, right? Like you can get over reliant on a certain player as a sword, right? Like that you sort of are like, well, his ownership is low and so I'm going to hold on to them. And sometimes that can be a problem too.
Well, you know, that's what happened at the start of World War One, right? Like France showed up with ball bearings and catapults, and the Germans had automated, was it Germany? Somebody else showed up on the battlefield with machine guns. So Aguero seems like an outmoded battlefield weapon at this point. I need to upgrade.
There's a question here from Miles Offside Podcast where he said, is it time to hashtag make FPL weird again and start breaking out with some low ownership players? And I was thinking about this question and thinking about my answer to it. And I mean, yeah, we could just come on here and say that it's a super long season and that we're one third in. and, you know, you should just stay the course and be steady, and that you'll probably overtake a lot of people just through your own steadiness. That doesn't work for me personally. It could be the right answer. And I think it's almost like, for some people, that is the right answer, and you can just kind of like stop listening to the podcast, right? I don't know. Like, you know, it's your, like, it's the right answer in some ways, but I think there is an emotional component to it as well. Like, if you want the game to be fun, you do need to bring it. Like, I don't know. I just, for me personally, it's like, I do want to do well, and I want to be consistent, and I want to have these shield players too. I want to have these high ownership players, and I don't want to have a team full of crazy swings. But I do think that there are times when you can start to pepper your team maybe a little more than you have been, you know. And I feel like that's sort of where I am right now. I want the next few transfers I make to be bringing in players who have ownership of, you know, 20%, 15%, you know, or less.
I don't want to help perpetuate this idea that somehow picking low ownership players is weird. It's just how the game is played, right? I think sometimes we lose sight of that, particularly the FPL managers who spend a fair amount of time discussing online with other managers, where you do start to converge on a template. The game is actually to be the person that picks the different player that does very well. So it's not you being weird. It's you just being a good FPL manager to try and find those players. Don't feel like an outsider is my message.
You're not alone. Is that that's the basic message?
Well, the
message
hope
here
is that you are alone. The hope is that you are alone, right? But make FPL cool again. Make FPL like a, I don't know. Just make FPL. I'd get rid of VAR. That's what I want to say in this moment.
That's a great anytime you don't know where to go conversationally, it's like, just bring that up again and everyone will nod their head in agreement, and then you can move on. So with that sort of idea in mind, there are a couple questions here that I thought we could just sort of talk about with that idea in the back of our head. So FPL Jacket Potato, that's a wild name. Was that FPL Potato Jacket and they've changed to Jacket Potato? I don't know. Is Martial,
it's like when Virgil van Dijk switched the name on the back of his shirt to Virgil from Van Dijk. It's just everyone's doing it.
Wait, is it Virgil now? It just says Virgil on the back of his shirt? That's awesome. Yeah, I did not realize that. Wow. It says, is Martial worth the risk at his price? I know he is so injury prone, but could it work this time? So what do you think, Anthony Martial?
I watched that whole United game Sunday morning, and Rashford and Martial, they look great. They will do this, of course, every month or so when healthy. They were doing this at the start of the season. I mean, it really did help that Paul Pogba was playing in the midfield at that time as well. But Martial and Rashford seem to play so well together, and I like it. And there are a few other players that I think are going to come up in this the next few questions, where I think if you're going to move on somebody like Martial, do it now. Don't hem and haw and think you're going to do it in a couple weeks' time. He is a form player, and I think these types of form players, it's important to get them when they're in form. And going back to our whole low ownership, you're diverging from the template discussion, you've got to be the first to get there. So move now. Yeah. I think the trick with a player like Martial is his price point, and how do you fit him into your midfield? Because then we get into these conversations of, well, is Mason Mount over your third midfield player? Who are you going to chop to get rid of? And is that the right decision? But yeah, I think Martial is well worth a punt right now.
Yeah, I think I think he is too. I worry about his next fixture. I just don't really trust any assets going into Sheffield United. What is the name of their stadium? I guess I should know this, but I actually don't. Wherever they play, Sheffield United, they've been quite strong at home. But after that, they've got a couple of nice fixtures coming up. They play Aston Villa and Spurs at home. And I think at this point, you have to consider Spurs at home to be a pretty good fixture, don't you? I mean, at least from an attacking perspective, you'd expect them to, you know. And I just feel Man United are so strong at home this year. You know, I was talking about Burnley earlier and having really strong, you know, home and road splits. But feels like that's kind of the case with Man United as well, where they're just, you know, as you might expect, you know, I mean, great, great stadium, great fans. But they, it feels like they really do come out at home. And, you know, I think about that today, obviously that we had the Chelsea match in game week one, as well as a couple others. So yeah, I'm into the Martial thing. I was a little on the fence about it, but yeah, I mean, just thinking about his ownership too. I mean, he's under 10% ownership right now. Like you said, yeah, make the move early, and you know, and it certainly wouldn't be shocking if they scored away to Sheffield. You know, and you know, you bring in Jon Lundstrom for his goal scoring threat anyway, not for the clean sheets.
Bramall Lane, Josh, is the answer to the question you were asking earlier. One other thing, Lane, right? This is like long-term magical thinking, but game week 18, Liverpool doing their whole Club World Cup thing, and you're starting to think, which midfielders am I going to play in the absence of Mane and Salah? And Manchester United play Watford in game week 18. So he's an option. Okay, so counter to what I was saying earlier, get him now or don't ever get him ever again. If you don't get him now, he's somebody that we can come back to and discuss ahead of game week 18 when you're looking for some goal scorers, some attackers to come in and fill that Liverpool gap.
Gotcha. So the answer is get him now or get him later. Either way, it's fine.
It's not a big deal.
There's a question from Emil Seedlick. He says, is this the right time to swap Mount for Pulisic?
Yeah, again, I kind of feel the same way about this move as I do about Martial, in that, yeah, if you're going to do this, do it now. Even I think I might actually be higher on Pulisic than Martial just by the nature of Chelsea's attack. I mean, game week 13 is a little troubling in that they play away at the Etihad, but you know, we'll discuss at some length after our next break about how Manchester City's defense doesn't exist anymore. So and Chelsea pretty much focus solely on attack, which is really exciting for a player like Pulisic. He's finally found his role in that team, and his role is just to run at the defense and cut in and take shots, and it's really exciting. I think Chelsea seem to be more of a consistent attacking team than Manchester United as well. So if I had to pick between Martial and Pulisic, I think right now I'm leaning Pulisic. Would you lean the same way?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to split between those two, especially because Martial looked really good at the start of the season. Then he was just injured for so long I feel like it's a little harder to assess him. But yeah, I mean, Pulisic just is in such amazing form right now. He's so aggressive. And I don't know. Yeah, we'll see what the international break does. I mean, I think for me, I think I do want one of these two players. And I think Mount is like hanging on by a thread in my team right now. It's probably true for a lot of managers. I mean, he's got, you know, one assist, no goals in his last four matches. Always looks good, you know, but it's the, I mean, honestly, it's Pulisic has kind of taken his spot a little bit, don't you think?
From he occupies that
tacky.
I agree. There's that pocket of space over to the left upper corner of the 18 where you would see Mount move into often at the start of the season. And now Pulisic, I think he can just cover more ground. I can't even cast my mind back to what was going on there pre-Pulisic and Callum Hudson-Odoi, who was filling in that pocket of space. And maybe it was Mount, but yeah, when you look at it this way and Mount suddenly is just a glorified James Ward-Prowse, he's just on some dead balls and occasionally sneaking into the box to pop a rebound into the goal.
Yeah.
He becomes less appealing. I mean, I don't want to totally dogpile on him because I agree. He's good. He still looked pretty good.
He's good. He's a good player, but I mean, just going back to the sword and shield thing, I mean, I think part of the, so you have these shields, right? I mean, I don't want to like torture. I don't want to belabor this metaphor too much, but you know, I think part of what can be a really effective strategy and a strategy to really pick up some points is to move just a week or two early on these players that fall out of form a little bit, you know. So you decide that Mount or whomever is has to go. And instead of maybe waiting a couple of weeks, you just do it. You know, you just do it early. And you try to grab some foreign player or somebody's got, you know, amazing upcoming run to fix or something like that. And sometimes just being one or two weeks ahead before everyone kind of moves there. I mean, this is how it happens. You know, no one stays like under the radar for long, you know, like you sort of jump, you can jump from 10% to 20% to 30% to 40% ownership, you know, just a handful of weeks, you know, it can happen super quickly. So, I'm into that move as well. And their prices are pretty similar. I mean, you know, Pulisic is only 0.6 more. Now granted, some people did buy him out when he was 6 million, which makes it a little trickier, I think. Yeah, I think I think that Pulisic is right up there with James Maddison, and I think all three of those are amazing assets. And I think it's really tricky. I mean, I think, you know, people talk a lot about, you know, what do you want to double up with Sterling and do you want to double up with Salah and Mane, you know, for their upcoming run, but. Can you get close to their returns with some of these 7 million assets? You know, like, can you just do it for cheaper and maybe put more money in your forward line? Like that's a question I'm thinking about myself.
Right. All right. We have one more question here before we hit our next break, and it comes from FPL Connect. With such great value options at the back, is it even worth it from a value point of view to buy premium at the back like Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold? Tomori, Lundstrom, and the other Sheffield United defenders, plus Rico, Ake, Soyuncu, the rest of the Leicester defense as well, all doing very well. So where are you with your defense right now, Josh, and your investment in premium versus bargain? I think the main one that we have to talk about, speaking of Liverpool double ups, is a Trent plus Rabo double up. It was Robertson's form.
Yeah.
Has been exceptional the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about them in the next section. So I don't want to go too down that road right now. But it's kind of a fun. I was thinking about this over the weekend and how the Lundstrom thing alone has sometimes, and like I think the fantasy game does a great job with pricing in general, and players are. It's remarkable how accurate the pricing are with these players sometimes, where someone like Salah comes in and we're like, oh, he's done, you know, he played for Chelsea. He didn't do anything. Who cares what he did at Roma? Like, you should bring him in at 7 million or whatever. But it's like, nope, he comes in at 9.5. And when you have like these really cheap assets, and I think you can actually be like, you can include Tammy and Mount in there. It actually sort of makes the game, it makes it a lot easier for everyone to kind of have the same team because it's almost irresistible to bring in these super cheap players. I mean, John Lundstrom scored a brace last week. You know, he's a 4 million defender, at least he was.
Yeah.
How can you not have
him? Plus a clean sheet.
Yeah. Like you have to have him. You cannot not have him. You know, it would be fantasy suicide. You know, they've got a great run of fixtures coming up as well. But I think the problem then is that everyone kind of has all the money they want to bring in the really expensive players too. And I think when they're it's just a reminder that it really does a lot of, like, when something like this happens with really low priced players, it can be kind of, I'm thinking about this as someone who's trying to climb up the rankings right now, and I'm like, God, you know, it's really tricky because the teams are very similar right now, and it's because everyone can afford to have all the big players and the cheap players, you know? And I feel like maybe last season it wasn't quite that way. You had to make some difficult choices, you know? And I don't know, but, you know, but it doesn't last. I mean, and again, like, you know, we're all holding on to Mount right now, but maybe he's got to go, you know, and he was one of those low priced, you know, players. So, as far as the defensive value goes, it's a good question. I mean, you know, Liverpool just, I don't know. I mean, obviously they didn't keep a clean sheet today. Maybe you wouldn't expect them to at home to Man City. But yeah, I mean, 7 million for players who are effectively wingers. I mean, it's not an easy answer, I don't think, you know, whether you want to have, I think having one of Rabo and Trent does seem like the right answer still, but both is a little harder for me to really strongly argue for.
Yeah, it's hard because they also have great midfielders who are expensive in Mane and Salah that you want a part of.
Yeah.
And just if you're looking at sort of spreading the cash around in the most effective way and, you know, managing your risk and also taking the right shots, they have to, if they can add clean sheets to their, to continue with my business metaphor, to their portfolio, then yes, the Trent Robbo double up is on. But if you're just gambling on who's going to get the assist or the goal week to week, I'm content to just take one of them there. And my problem is, to the larger premium versus cheap defender issue, is what I would brought up in my own team, looking at my game week 12 squad, and my defense is really ragged because I've just decimated my defense. It's Trent plus a bunch of people that were picked up in a pickup truck by the side of the road. I need to reevaluate. Wait,
so who is
guys.
It? It's Trent, Rico, Lundstrom.
Yeah, Lundstrom, Matt Loughton, who, you know, is the newest Scooby-Doo mystery, and Navarro. Let's see, Mark Navarro, who is a player for Watford, who's on loan somewhere. So I have four playing defenders, one non-playing defender. One of them is a mystery. One of them plays for Bournemouth.
Was that on your wild? I actually didn't even realize that. Was that like just on your wild card? You needed the money and
I wanted the money, and I have this stupid theory that's blown up on my face every single season where I get like I try to find the most unknown cheap 4.0 goalkeeper or defender, usually someone who's in a lower league, and I'm like, well, no one is going to even jokingly bring them into their team, so there will never be any transfer fluctuation. But with these, even if only 50 people have them, it only takes like 10 of
it's
them.
All relative. To sell.
It's all relative for the pricing. So this 4.0 defender Navarro, he's already down to 3.9. So it's already a disaster.
Yeah.
So I need to recalibrate there. But so it's like what I was saying in terms of like, now we can. I feel like I am a little more confident about trying to pinpoint differentials in the attack now, because these goal scorers on the fringes are starting to emerge. And I think I'd say the same about defense. Like, I finally feel like Leicester is a good defensive outfit. I'm finally ready to invest in them. Chelsea.
So let me just to put a button on this question. If you could have, let's just say it didn't blow up your team, and you had unlimited budget. Well, let's say under 6 million, because we already kind of eliminated Robbo from the double up there. Who's the one player that you would most want to have right now? Budget aside.
I think it is Soyuncu, because I think Leicester, as I've said time and time again, they're just going to get better and better and better this season. And watching Soyuncu, he plays the Virgil van Dijk style of center back, where he's anticipating, he's intercepting lots of passes, he's doing lots of things that are great for baseline bonus. And you saw that with his bonus that he took home from the Arsenal match. On top of that, he's just active in the box and set pieces. He has, you know, he's only scored one goal in his entire short career in the Premier League, but he has it. So I just think I see him as a player that's getting better, and he's playing in a great team, and he has great baseline bonus. What's not to love?
Yeah, and I guess I shouldn't say regardless of price, because of course that how can you ever divorce it, right? And you can still get into the Leicester defense for under 5 million, and you know, as you said, he looks great, and they have a great run coming up. So I think that's the answer I go with as well. I do think Tomori has been awesome though too. I know you're about to get there, and I cut you off, but he's another player still only 4.8 million. You know, talk again about a differential. He's only 7.8% owned, which feels shockingly low. Does that not feel low to you, considering
it does? Chelsea's just proving the haters wrong, that everyone thought they're, well, just as a team, they were going to fall apart at some point in the near term, and that their defense wasn't very good at all. I mean, they've been the victim of some crazy deflected goals that have wiped out Chelsea clean sheets. But on the whole, I think that they're looking really good. The fact that Azpilicueta is going to find it difficult to get into the team, and that James guy who played out on the right-hand side to cover Zaha over the weekend, he looked really good.
Yeah.
I think he just has more pace than Dave does. But they still have great players all across that defense.
Yeah, Reese James is his name. Yes. $5 million. But yeah, did get a start in a clean sheet, so maybe one to maybe keep an eye out for. As you said, he was it was weird because he played for Aspe, but I think he came in. Maybe he can play either side because I feel like he came in for. I think he came in on the other side when he was subbed in a couple of game weeks ago. So
he came in for like Alonso or. He seems to.
I thought so.
He's got like a jack of all trades quality because I feel like they've played him farther forward in games earlier this season.
So on that note of neither of us knowing anything really about Reese James, let's take a quick break and we'll get back.
Not even his name.
We'll take a quick break and we'll get back with some Liverpool and Man City talk. I guess even more because we've already done lots of it already. Brandon and Josh, that's us. That's the cheaters. We love Harry's Razors because it offers quality, durable braids at a fair price. Did you know you were a cheater, Brandon? You're an always cheater. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's and claim your special offer at harrys.com/bluewire. Why try Harry's? That's Blue Wire, one word, by the way. Why try Harry's? Harry's founders were two regular guys who got tired of getting ripped off and paying for overpriced razors. Harry's razors are available at just $2 per blade. This fall, refresh your wallet and your face with a Harry's trial set. It comes with a weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip, and a trimmer blade for a close shave, a rich lathering shave gel that will leave you, Brandon, smelling great. Add to that a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy on the go. Brandon, we're going to the UK in February. It looks like looking more and more like February.
We're zeroing in on the dates, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Let's bring both of us our Harry's with us. Listeners of our show can redeem a free trial set at harrys.com/bluewire. Once again, that's a free trial set at harrys.com/bluewire.
Josh, let's take a minute for our great friends at Untuckit. We mentioned these shirts at the start of the podcast. We got a couple in the mail and we love them. Hey, have you ever seen an untucked button down? They look bad. Why? Because they weren't meant to be worn that way. That's why. Thankfully, there is Untuckit, the original button-down shirt actually designed to be worn untucked. Josh, sometimes I'm walking around and I feel like, you know, if I tuck my shirt in, I'm going to look like Cesar Azpilicueta, who always tucks his shirt in. But all the other guys are on the pitch. They look much cooler. They look much more composed with their naturally untucked shirts. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So no matter what your size or shape is, Untuckit shirts always fall the perfect untucked length. And with the holidays near, there's no better gift for your favorite guy who needs an upgrade. You can find your favorite Untuckit style online or check out one of their 80 brick and mortar stores. Choose from styles like wrinkle-free button-down, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. With Untuckit, your shirts will never look baggy, bulgy, too long, or too big ever again. And their website is so easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect holiday gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuckit is the way to go. Visit untuckit.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's Untuckit, UNTUCKIT.com, and promo code BLUE for 20% off.
Brandon, we're back. It's the Liverpool and Man City corner. We've already talked about kind of all of their players a fair amount already. So we're going to treat this lightning round style, which means in theory that we spend 30 minutes. Yeah, that's actually what it usually comes out to. 30 seconds on each question. We're going to try to jump through all of these and just kind of give some quick takes. I mean, what you do with your Liverpool Man City players is so important to how the next few game weeks go, that it's worth a little extra time. First question, just because we already talked about it already, I want to get right to it, is from Boston Prof, who says, I see everyone saying Trent over Robertson, and the stats seem undeniable. Has Trent just been unlucky recently and his form will revert? What would it take for you to believe that Robertson was the better pick over Trent? Now, I don't think that Robertson's form, for the record, has been that poor, right? I mean, he got an assist and last game week, and he was creating so many chances that he got two bonus points, despite the fact that it was a 2-1 win, and there were game-winning goal scorers and things like that. So, but nevertheless, Brendan, I ask you that question: what would it take for you to pick Robertson over Trent, maybe on a wild card, something like that?
I guess the one thing that would take would be money, because Alexander-Arnold is 0.2 more expensive. We had this discussion last week where, you know, we tried to induct Andy Robertson into the Always Cheating Mutual Appreciation, not mutual, but the Always Cheating Appreciation Society. And we ended up only talking about Trent in the process. And it came off like we just didn't respect Robertson as a player. Now, obviously, he is fantastic and he's pivotal to what Liverpool are doing there. But there is something about Trent and what he offers just from an FPL perspective. Now, Robertson and Trent are both now to date on one goal and four assists, each of them on the season. So you'd say it's kind of a dead heat, but I'm investing also with the promise of future returns. I think Robertson will continue to tick along, but I guarantee you at the end of the season, Alexander-Arnold is going to come out ahead. And that's why I think I say it's money, because if I had to go with Robertson because of money, I would happily, happily do so, because he will still provide great FPL returns. I am looking into the future, and I will guarantee you Trent has the better FPL haul at the end of the season.
I feel so confident about this. I'm with you that Boston Prof, who is a patron, by the way, Brandon.
And a professor.
That's true. And I'm with you. And in fact, Robertson has already spotted Trent 5 points on the season, but I still agree with you. I feel so confident about this that we are going to send Boston Prof via PayPal or Venmo or whatever service that we're not advertising at all in this podcast, a $5 reward if he is correct, Brandon. This is not a bet. He doesn't have to send us $5 if it doesn't work out. No. We're just going to send him $5. It's the $5 challenge. We're going to update you on this. Never, probably. But if we're wrong, we will send him $5 in the mail. That's our promise, the virtual.
Yeah. It's one of those decisions that I hate to make, because I want to love both of them and I think they're both great. And I mean, if you look at the last two or three seasons, what has made Liverpool so special? Well, it's like contributions from Mane and Salah, but having these two fullbacks just playing out of their minds for the last couple of years has been great to watch. So I wish we could have them both.
It's still just madness so much that money. They have two clean sheets in 12. And that's really the problem, is that you're getting great returns from them, but you're getting the same returns that you would get from a Mason Mount or something.
Yeah.
You know, like you're just not getting any clean sheets. And it feels kind of fluky still. I think you and I were talking about this just on GChat or something. Maybe it was last week's podcast or so. Apologies for repeating myself. But it reminds me of Man City last season, where I felt like they had this run where they were conceding goals. You know, like it was like just every week it was like one goal would slip in. And the defensive stats for them were amazing. And it was just a little, it's hard to keep a clean sheet, you know, like little things happen, little kind of fluky things happen that can stop it. And I just think, you know, looking ahead to this upcoming run for Liverpool, this will be the test, you know. I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't be keeping clean sheets. I mean, their team is almost identical to last year's. Last year's was great defensively. So it still feels a little fluky, and I don't know how much the Alisson thing made a difference. I mean, I thought he looked really strong and commanding in today's match, and so maybe we did underrate just how important he was to this team.
Yeah. Let me put it this way, to have maybe the last word on the Trent-Robertson comparison, is if I could put it in terms of double game week and always, you know, saving your triple captain for a double game week or a bench boost for a double game week. And it's like, I'm not captaining a player in a double game week because I think they're going to score a hat trick in both games. I'm triple captaining them because they have double the chance to have a return. They have a second, a third, a fourth bite of the apple. And I think that's why we would prefer Trent over Robertson, is that Trent just has more opportunities to create because of the corner kicks and the dead balls. So it's, I guess that's maybe a simple way to put it, is Trent is basically like a captain in a double game week, where Robbo is a captain in a single game week.
I just feel like you have to watch the match. Today's match was a little different because, you know, I think he had to control the threat of Sterling a little bit. I was wondering at first why he wasn't on corner kicks. And I think honestly, they're just so worried about Man City in the break that he they didn't want him back there, you know, that far back. They wanted, so that's why Henderson took them. But I just think in general, I mean, he's on all corners, he's on all set pieces. I agree with you. So let's move on to the next question. Actually, two. I'm gonna take them together because they kind of are tied together. Jeff Petter says Sterling looks electric and can't stop scoring in every game that is in the Premier League. KDB involved in everything on all set pieces, and the value is tied up in him. Who do I drop? And then Bryn Stewart says, what more does KDB need to do? Every City player is inches away from all of his beautiful deliveries.
Yeah.
So Sterling, this is a question that it must be close to your heart, Brandon, because you have Sterling, Aguero, and KDB. You know, it's a triple up that has not gone as well as you would have expected it to, really, you know, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It was kind of motoring along for a while, and now the wheels have come off. And I have to disrupt that grouping. I've thought a long time about who I'm going to drop. KDB is probably the best option, because if you talk about FPL points floors and ceilings, where KDB's ceiling is probably quite a bit lower than Sterling's. Sterling is capable of incredible explosive performances. Now, for him this season, they're kind of coming on a monthly basis as a opposed to a weekly basis. So KDB, he ticks along, but he going to blow up your overall rank if you don't have the ticking KDB versus having the explosive Sterling? So I lean toward keeping Sterling. The only appeal to dropping Sterling is then it's basically a straight swap to get in Salah or Mane, which I do find really appealing. What I want to talk more about is, what do we think actually it's like, how do you fit these pieces into your FPL team? I just don't know where I stand emotionally with Manchester City right now, or what I make of their form. So maybe I just want to drop them all.
Yeah, it's the injuries have just killed them, I think. And especially a team that's so reliant on playing through the back, you know, and they're just they don't, there's nothing fluid about them. And it feels like their game plan today was just for Sterling to kind of wriggle his way into a tight spot and make a good decision. You know, it didn't feel like Bernardo scored the goal and up the bonus points, but I felt like everything was going through the left. Yeah. You know,
they were not getting enough people forward at all against Liverpool. Yeah. When they transitioned the ball, it was just basically Sterling and De Bruyne against four or five Liverpool players, and they just couldn't. How could they ever break through that defense?
One thing we were saying when we were watching the match the Black Horse Day too was, it felt like we maybe underrated how important David Silva is to this team, you know, and the way he kind of links the midfield to to the forwards, and he's just such a beautiful passer, you know, and has such great vision. And
having David Silva in the middle and then also missing Leroy Sané, who gives them the width. So imagine Silva taking up the middle space, Sané out wide, Sterling has more of a free role. And I don't think De Bruyne was helped being played in that number 10 role, because his vision and his ball playing is such it's better for him to float maybe a little wider, maybe a little farther back. And they were missing so many pieces. So if it's going to continue on like this for a while, I mean, granted, Liverpool were the better team and City will not find it as tough to get men forward against future opposition. But you wonder if the wheels are coming off a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. And obviously they're in fourth place now, which is kind of shocking. But I don't think it lasts. I think they still end the season, easily in second place. And I just think it's kind of a bad run. I mean, I know they've been winning most of these matches still, but it hasn't been easy. You know, that Southampton match wasn't easy. I suppose the Aston Villa match was fairly straightforward, but it does feel like they're struggling right now. And, but maybe the international break resets things a little bit. I still have a lot of faith. I mean, I still think, Sterling, to me, I'm still thinking of him as really like a season keeper. I mean, just a player who I just want to ride through thick and thin. And maybe I change my mind at some point. But I'm certainly not going to make any decisions based on how they play away to Liverpool. You know, that's just not an easy match. And I thought he actually played pretty well today. Yeah, I don't think he got a ton of help. I thought he was really active and aggressive, and sort of everyone says that he doesn't play well at Anfield, or hasn't done it since he's joined Man City. And I think it's probably true, but I thought he it wasn't for lack of effort today.
Yeah, he certainly, if it were a game of rugby, he certainly got the ball to the end line many times.
Oh, I mean, he should have been. I can't believe he didn't get a yellow card. But I thought he played with fire, you know, like I don't know that everyone else played with the same fire that he did today.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at the next question, which comes from FPL Ant. Looking at the ticker, City fixtures look tough until game week 18 until they get very strong. Are we overestimating City's hard fixtures coming up? Say home Chelsea, home United, away Arsenal in the next five. So I'm kind of I'm slagging off City right now. Yeah, basically just on one performance. Do we still think City are fixture proof? If you look at home Chelsea in game week 13, then it's Newcastle and Burnley both away. Then a Manchester derby, interesting matchup at the Etihad in game week 16, followed by Arsenal away.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, I don't want anyone on their defense. I think that's pretty much a given at this point. Right. I mean, they don't have, you know, especially with Ederson out now too, it's just a complete mess. There's nobody you'd want, in that defense. And they don't keep clean sheets anyway. You know, the forward lines, I don't really want any of their forwards either. And so then the question is, you know, how many of their midfielders do you want, if any? And for me, I refuse to go without a Man City midfielder. I just think they're too attacking. I mean, it's not like they're going to be kept scoreless a ton, you know? And I mean, having just one feels like, you're talking about the shield thing before. I mean, to go into Man City matches without anybody from their team, I don't want to be in that position. And I don't really, I mean, Chelsea at home, they'll score in that one. Newcastle, Burnley away, I think those, you know, expect them to win those matches. Man United at home, that's a win. Arsenal away, they could score six in that one, you know? So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think I had a lot to get off my chest. We were enjoying watching Liverpool beat City, but at the second half, I think it was FPL frustrations because I'm so heavily invested in Manchester City that I started pointing out to you like every single thing that I thought City was doing wrong. So I think just based on that match, I can overstate what I think the problems are. But yeah, they still are a phenomenal attacking organism, and they will. The fact of the matter is, right? Yeah, just on basic FPL. FPL standards, they will score goals. So this is really what we're only interested in right now with Man City. As you said, no defenders. So if we think that they just will continue to score goals, then sure, why not? Stay with one of the attacking assets that makes the most sense to you. Whether it's Sterling or De Bruyne, I just think it's all down to money.
I think either one is fine between those two, too. I don't have a strong opinion about who the better one is. I just think that KDB is still feeling the effects of that injury a little bit. And I think that, I don't know, but he looked very good today. I don't know. It's ultimately, he's not the one who's scoring most of the goals for them. And so if, you know, I don't know. So I guess if it's a tiebreaker, I'm going to go with the player who's the goal scorer, who is Raheem Sterling. Yeah. And I'm willing to pay a bit of a premium for that too. So, all right. We have one more question. Christopher said, this is the Liverpool. We're going back to Liverpool for a second. Christopher said, did anyone detect Salah limping when he went off? I mean, he just limps everywhere now, doesn't he? Like limps to the bus in the morning. And Liverpool have been treating him for a stubborn ankle injury lately. And despite looking sharp early on, he has noticeably lost a lot. He noticeably lost a lot of fizz later on in the match. Despite his 72 points, is he the best use of 12.3 million right now? I have him, so I'm biased. So you answer this question.
Based on the last week, I think he is worth it because watching Liverpool's Champions League match, Salah was very fleet of foot. Lots of magic little touches. His assist to Oxlade-Chamberlain for his goal midweek was sensational. He played the full 90. And that, I know, gave you, Josh, some confidence going into this Man City match with Salah. And I thought he looked really good. And you posted on our Twitter feed the cartoon of Wile E. Coyote from the Looney Tunes running, and his legs were just a blur. And that's what Mo Salah looks like when he's like in peak condition. His legs are just spinning like a blur. He did look like he tweaked his ankle a little bit. There was that one moment where the medical staff had to come on the pitch, but then he was fine after. These ankle injuries are just going to stick around forever. He's always going to be dealing with it. But I think what I would say ultimately for Salah is that I think he is just a crazy competitive psychopath, and he can see full well what's happening at Liverpool. He can see full well that if Liverpool win and he is the league and he's a part of it, he's just a legend and he wants to be a part of that. He's going to play as much as he can. The rest of his career be damned. I think he's going to put as many injections in that ankle as he wants to, as he wants or needs to. Meaning that I just don't think he's a huge FPL risk at the moment.
Yeah, and I think you know, goal scorers, especially players like him, they, you know, they need confidence. I mean, I'm not breaking any ground here, but you know, I just think he's got two goals in his last three Premier League matches. You know, and granted, one of them was a penalty, but the goal that he scored today was a goal taken by a confident player. You know, I mean, it's a beautiful cross by Robertson, absolutely, but he still has to absolutely turn on the jets, you know, and you know, and be in position, and then the ball comes off the bounce too. You know, it's very tricky, and he just, you know, it was a very confidently taken header. I thought, you know, on the fly like that. So that to me is a sign of a player in form. He also had a great strike near the end of the first half that could have been a goal too. You know, just booted the hell out of it, and I felt like he wasn't hitting the ball that hard a few weeks ago, and so I wonder if that's his confidence is back a little bit, where he's just, you know, this is like the way he takes penalties usually too, which is that he just like stands there and just hits it as hard as he possibly can. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's very hard to defend though, that type of penalty. So, I think he's worth it too. The Mane thing, I mean, I think they're both valuable. I don't think is insane, given their run of fixtures and given that Klopp works with a pretty tight squad. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like Man City where any given game week you're not going to see a Raheem Sterling or something, you know. I mean, you know, God, it's four double-digit returns now in the season for Sadio Mane. He's got 7 goals and 4 assists. Salah's got 6 goals and 3 assists. So, you know, Mane is a little bit ahead of him. But again, I just feel like when you watch these matches, it still feels like Salah's the one who's more involved. And I think Mane actually got a little lucky today to score that goal. So anyway,
I don't know about that, Joshua.
No, you think? Well, I mean, it was, you know, I guess he was in the perfect position, so I've got to give him some credit there. I do think that Ederson would have saved that.
Perhaps. You know, Bravo is, he's happy to oblige if somebody shoots at him. I think, I don't know. I'm very curious to see how it looks after game week 38 between Mane and Salah, because I just think Mane has been clearly the more consistent player. I think it's a different level of involvement, because I think Salah is more of a ball carrier and Mane is just a straight up positional player, and the ball comes to him and he does what he needs to do with it. Whereas Salah will pick the ball up or run onto it and carry it for a bit. So I don't know if that's deceiving, but I don't want to get into the whole, he has penalties and he doesn't have penalties, but I would be willing to make a friendly wager with you versus Mane versus Salah for total FPL points at the end of the season.
Well, I mean, Mane's got an 11-point lead. So, I mean, are you spotting me 11 points or, you know, I mean, straight up, I guess I would have to take Mane at this point as well. I mean, okay. 11 points, you know, that's a, there's not a lot between them, I don't think, you know?
Okay.
But I also, I mean, it's actually, I'm glad you said this because when you put it that way, I honestly don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure what people who are listening want us to say. I mean, maybe it's just like just talking about it is part of what makes it helps you to sort out your thinking a little bit. But I just don't feel like I can come on this podcast and say definitively that one is a better asset than the other, especially now that they're so close in price. You know, I just don't have a strong opinion on who's more valuable. I lean towards Salah, but it's not in an overwhelming way.
Yeah. Yeah, fair. That's where we landed.
That's where we landed. Game Week 13 comes up in 2 weeks. We'll be back next week with a standard Always Treating podcast. But we're not going to preview it yet because, you know, better to wait until some of these international matches have been played, see if anybody gets injured, see if anybody hits some form. Although, you know, Pukki hit amazing form with Finland last month, and that didn't really make a difference for Norwich. So you can overrate Premier League form a little bit, too. If yeah. you want to talk more about fantasy over the next couple of weeks or anything, really, you can become a Patreon and you can join us on the Slack. That's patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can join. And Brandon, you want to do some producer thank yous?
Yeah, big thank you, of course, always to our producers, Andy Portlock, Peter Bodichtel, Barry McGuire, Paul Herzig, Victor Forberg Skogang, Blair Jacobson, Nick Wright, Stan Niehaus, Kaya Christine Lalang, Brian Chin, Travis West, Frederick Kean Gransky, Dave Wegner Lodahl, Brian Jacobson, Andy Penn, Jazz Binning, Chris Carter, Bobas Kuhn, James Holland, Ben Grant, Jeff Husby, Trevor Ingerson, Brian T., Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Martin Savage, Chris Howell, Stephen Toomey, and Mike DiPietro.
Thank you so much, Patreon. And thank you, a special thank you to Kaya for the poem that we read off in today's podcast. So if you are an only patrons, get that, Brandon. So if you have a poem and you'd like us to read it, become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/alwayscheating. If you'd like to review the podcast, maybe don't mention all the poetry on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Acast, Stitcher, we'd love it if you just want to subscribe to the podcast. We do a new one every week, and that would be great. You can follow us on social media as well. We're at Hail Cheaters, H-A-I-L Cheaters on Twitter. Instagram is also Hail Cheaters. Facebook, we're facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can email us at any time, hailcheaters@gmail.com. We try to get to those as soon as we can. Kind of same with direct messages. And you can visit our website at alwayscheating.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a week.
Enjoy the break.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.